So the biggest story, the biggest political story here in Washington State yesterday was Judy Cliburn. She's a state representative from Mercer Island. More important than that, she is the chairwoman of the House Transportation Committee. And so she's the single most powerful legislator in Olympia when it comes to transportation issues. She unveiled a multifaceted gas tax increase at a press conference yesterday. Here is our coverage. Como 4's own Luc Ducey.
Surrounded by fellow lawmakers and labor unions in Olympia, House Representative Judy Cliburn proposed her 10-year, $10 billion transportation bill she says will pay for everything from buses to state ferries, add 56,000 jobs, and finance road construction, repairs, and maintenance for drivers.
So we are going to make sure that they can get to work without sitting in gridlock.
But it also means everyone across the state would pay, among other fees, close to 1% extra motor vehicle excise tax, 0.3% more tax to clean up storm drains, a $25 fee if you buy a bicycle worth $500 or more, and the big one, 10 cents more tax on every gallon of gas you pump.
I wonder how people will feel about that. Don't worry, Luc Ducey started asking.
I think it's ridiculous, all this prices going up.
Drivers tell me they don't like it, and neither does John Adams.
I'm not anti-tax. I'm anti-bad tax.
How did he manage to interview the second president of the United States so many years after his death?
His political action committee and several others that work with oil companies fear a higher tax will crush gas stations at the borders.
A gallon of regular unleaded is $3.75. About $2.85 of that goes to crude oil. 22 cents goes to distribution and marketing. Another 22 cents to the refinery. And 37.5 cents goes to state taxes right now. The rest, the station pockets.
Adding 10 more cents would make Washington's gas tax the fourth highest in the country.
All right. Now, you're probably saying, well, John, you know, there are a couple of, you know, big transportation projects we haven't finished, like that viaduct tunnel and, of course, that 520 floating bridge. So maybe the best thing to do is, you know, kind of suck it up and agree to it and get those projects done and we move forward, okay? Well, no, because all of this money and all of those taxes, every dollar of the gas tax increase, every dollar of the storm fee charge, every dollar of the, you know, bicycle fees that they're going to be charging, every dollar of the car tab increase that they're going to nail onto your license tabs when you renew, every dollar goes to things other than 520 and the viaduct. 520 and the viaduct don't get a dime of any of that money. Now, why does that matter? Because this is a deliberate strategy. They are now trying to make tolling on the I-90 bridge inevitable. They're trying to say, we're not going to give any of this gas tax money, any of this car tab fee money to finish the 520 floating bridge, which, financially speaking, is floating. In a sea of uncertainty. It's a $4 billion project. They've only paid for $2.5 billion of it. So their fannies hanging out there to the extent of $1.5 billion on this. And none of the money from this transportation package that the Democrats outlined is going to come or is going to go to the 520 bridge. So they're trying to push all this through, not as an alternative to tolling, but as a supplement to it. So, you know, still to come is you've got the cities and counties lobbying in Olympia to raise your car tab fees even more than Judy Cliburn wants to raise them. She is suggesting, or rather they are suggesting, that you pay $300 more for car tab fees, for transit and for roads. See, all these people think about is raising taxes. Not a single word about, well, we found ways to reduce spending. Well, we're troubled by the fact that it costs 50% more to do a highway project here than a similar project in a similar type state of ours. So, you know, we found ways to squeeze savings. They have no interest in doing that. In fact, they're against doing it. That's why they want more taxes, so they won't have to do it. But make no mistake about it, they are pushing through big time on all of these transportation tax increases plus tolling. One Democratic senator, i.e. Tim Sheldon, the president pro tem of the Senate, part of that majority coalition, fiscally conservative coalition, has reacted to this transportation tax package immediately.
Under the proposal from House Democrats, the gas tax would rise to nearly 50 cents a gallon. But State Senator Tim Sheldon, also a Democrat, doesn't like the idea and says it has little chance of passing.
It would take two-thirds of the members of both houses of the legislature to pass a new tax.
Instead, he says voters should decide if the tax should go up. Ian Sterling, Como News Radio.
Thank you, Ian. Good report, because you all passed Initiative 1185. I say you all, I'm not exaggerating. 65% of the people in Washington State going to the polls in November voted for requiring a two-thirds supermajority to raise taxes. It passed every county in the state. It passed 90% of the legislative districts. Okay, the public was not ambiguous. But the Democrats in Olympia, who are just every bit as tone deaf about the issue of excessive spending as the Democrats in Congress, are hoping that a lawsuit currently before the state Supreme Court will result in the court tossing out that initiative so that they can push through tax increases on a simple majority vote. Doing so means completely ignoring the professed will of the people, not once, not twice, but four times at the polls, that they want supermajorities to raise taxes. Anyway, here's more from Democratic Senator Tim Sheldon.
Our gas tax is 37 cents a gallon. That's almost the highest in the country. And one proposal is to add another 10 cents to that gas tax. Can you imagine if you're the new Secretary of Transportation, Lynn Peterson, and the governor might tell you, go out there and promote a tax increase on your second day on the job. So it's a tough one. The Department of Transportation, I think, has to show the public that they are accountable, that they're getting projects done, that things are moving well towards getting value for that 37 cents in gas taxes. As you know, it would take two-thirds of the members of both houses of the legislature to pass a new tax under the Initiative 1185, and I just think that's doubtful, very doubtful this year. I think a package, if it's going to be approved, has to be statewide. Everybody's district in this state is going to have to see transportation improvements and ferry improvements, for example, but I think it has to go to the voters.
I think he's right, and I think it will. I think that the legislature understands that they can't flout the will of the people just a few months after two-thirds of them, in a Democratic year at the polls, mind you, two-thirds of them said they want a two-thirds supermajority requirement to raise taxes. So they don't have two-thirds to do this, nowhere close to it. My guess is they're going to punt this to the voters. And the Democrats are hoping, you know what? Back in 2005, the voters decided to support a 9-cent gas tax increase. So maybe they'll do it again. But I'll tell you something. I'm not so sure. Because I have a feeling that, number one, many voters feel they're not getting good value for how DOT spends their money. And number two, I think there's going to be a rebellion against these tax increases when they're trying to ram through additional higher car tab fees and trying to ram through tolling on I-90. Keep in mind, that's unprecedented. It's unprecedented to toll a bridge over here to pay for a bridge expansion over there. The way tolling works traditionally here in Washington State is it is limited to a bridge or a highway, but mostly a bridge. It is imposed after the bridge is built and all the money is used to pay for that bridge. And when the bridge is paid for, the tolls come off. Now, that's kind of a deal we made here in Washington. We didn't want to be like the East Coast, where every 12 miles there's a toll booth. So in exchange for tolling, we accepted high gas taxes. We currently have, I believe, the seventh highest gas tax in the country. And tolling has always been used for specific purposes. Now what they're trying to do, and they started with 520, starting to collect tolls before they built the bridge. Now they're trying to say, well, we're going to collect tolls on I-90 to help pay for the 520 floating bridge, which, of course, they did not do when they built 520 in the first place 50 years ago. So keep that in mind. We are looking at a historic expansion of tolling. At the same time, they are trying to push up gas taxes and increase your car tab fees. One of the little taxes in this transportation package that I've been telling you about the last few minutes, this 10 cent a gallon increase in your gas tax over the next 5 years, plus your higher license tab fees, they also would, for the first time, tax bicycles. Here's Como News Radio's John Rep with that one.
It's $25, and anybody buying a bike for more than $500 would have to pay the new fee. And you can understand why Ryan Putnam at Greg Cycles isn't exactly thrilled with this.
As cyclists, it's an easy target since it's a growing population of people riding to work.
The plan would raise about $1 million over 10 years, just part of the House Democrats' $10 billion plan for transportation. But these cyclists say it's not fair.
Frustrating that we need to come up with screwball ways to make money.
That's pretty absurd.
Kind of sounds like a luxury tax on bikes. Bicycles to me, though.
On the other side of the issue, some drivers say bike lanes do cost something, and bicyclists should pay their fair share. John Rep, Como News Radio.
Well, yeah. Why shouldn't they? Why shouldn't there be?
Funny how it works when the shoe is on the other foot.
Yeah, I mean, if bicycles use the road, why shouldn't they contribute something? If bicyclists get their own dedicated lane, which they do in many places in Seattle and surrounding cities, why shouldn't they help pick up part of the freight?
They're doing backflips when they get extra pavement set aside for bike lanes.
So if they get the extra
pavement, at the expense of people that pay to drive their car.
Hey, man, you want pavement? I want payment.
Yeah, yeah.
Payment for pavement. And that fee, but it's notice it's a one-time only deal. It's just a sales fee for collected at the point of purchase.
So
for
is it $25 on any bike purchase over 25, or does it
over
move,
$500?
Does it move up from there?
I think it's a.
If I buy a $1,000 bike, do I pay $50?
No, it's a flat fee.
They're getting off light.
I know.
Holy Moses. You know, when you had the show on Como News Radio before we ended up over here on KVI, we went round and round about some of this bike lane stuff and that notion that bicycle riders, why shouldn't they put some skin in the game? A lot of people say, hey, why don't we register bicycles the way we register cars? To me, that's kind of a non-starter. That's a whole bureaucratic nightmare
I don't think anyone wants to get into. Which does happen in some places,
yeah,
but not in Washington.
I don't think that that's worth all the effort that you would have to put into a bureaucratic morass to keep track of it. I don't think that. But the one thing that I had thought about was every bicycle store in the state, maybe we should tack on an extra 1%, 2% sales tax. And if I have to go buy a new tire for a bike, okay, I'm going to pay a little bit more. If I have to go buy a new light for my helmet and you're buying it at a bicycle store, take that money and use that money to start to pay for bike
lanes. If you're just buying the bike helmet from a licensed dealer or from a private purchase?
Yeah. And you see where this
goes.
And you're absolutely right. You see where this goes, okay. Where people can wiggle out and say, oh, I'm going to buy it off the web now. If you want to talk about bicycle riders putting skin in the game to have some real estate on the roads, that would be a way to do it. This proposal down in Olympia, and as you and I have talked about off the air, we can let all the listeners know we want to get somebody from the Cascade Bicycle Club.
Yeah, we've been trying to get someone
to track down somebody from there to talk about this.
We want someone from the bicycle lobby. In fact, I tell you what. You know what? See if Mayor McGinn will join me on this.
Yeah, I'll put in a request to him as well.
Call Mark Matassa. And because Mark Matassa, whenever I see Mark Matassa, he's always saying, oh, you know, Mike McGinn really does like you.
Matassa the guy from the Cascade
Mayor,
Bicycle Club?
No, that
was Hiller, wasn't it?
Yeah.
David Hiller?
Yeah.
There we go. Okay.
David Hillier.
Matassa
with Mike McGinn's office.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's still with Mike McGinn's office. Yeah. He changes jobs all the time. He's always moving up or moving over or something. But I'm always hearing, oh, Mike McGinn really likes you. Mm-hmm. And yet whenever we try and get him on the show, oh, he's not available.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he really likes you. See if he'll really come on, because I'll just ask him one question.
Yep.
Why shouldn't bicyclists
pay?
But if they're getting dedicated bike lanes and they're using the roads like anyone else, electric car owners have to pay a fee.
Yeah, and they might have to pay more and more. And this is the perfect microcosm of this bigger issue we're dealing with nationally where, oh, we're going to make somebody else pay for what we want to do. And we're going to tax the rich so that we can pay for what we want to do. And once you start to talk about actual tax equity,
mm-hmm.
The conversation changes fast, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, oh, you can't make bike riders pay. That's too cruel.
If there's anyone out there who is a bicycle rider who thinks that you shouldn't have to pay, call and tell me why. Call and tell me why. Why should you be exempt from paying for using the roads same as any car or motorcycle?
Yeah, we need to deputize the KVI faithful to find their coworkers that they know ride bikes, quiz them on it, and get back to us
too. Anyway, it is coming up on 8:30. You mean 8:30 headlines straight ahead. In the meantime, you know what I want you to do throughout the day? Because we post highlights there. Brittany Perrault, our social media mavens, made our website look really nice and pretty. Check it out, KVI.com. And also check out my Facebook fan page and like it. You will like it at John Carlson Radio. Again, that's John Carlson Radio.